Hello and welcome. This book club series is for teams tackling issues of both human capital and financial capital, especially now in the wake of mass automation, not only of factory and retail jobs, but displacement of white-collar workers too. In today's episode, my very first, I'll explain why I chose this book, The Great Game of Business by Jack Stack. I'm Esther Tang, an avid reader and entrepreneur in the automotive space. Almost a decade ago, I came across a wildly successful company called SRC in Missouri, USA. SRC harnesses human participation in an extraordinary all-hands-on-deck method that they call the Great Game of Business. I believe the world desperately needs to consider using the Great Game immediately, whether in business or public policymaking. If you're like me and you think that we can do better by the people displaced by automation, e-commerce, and other tech innovations, if your heart breaks to see someone laid off with their dignity pulled out from under them, then please join me in this chapter-by-chapter discussion of The Great Game of Business by Jack Stack. Using The Great Game of Business, SRC not only creates exceptional shareholder value, but it also meets its explicitly stated goal of creating and sustaining jobs. The company has a track record of building wealth for all employees, including line level, and including new line level employees who joined only fairly recently. SRC's company shares just continue to appreciate in value. To be clear, I don't work for SRC. I don't own their stock, though I want to. SRC is fully employee-owned, not publicly traded. SRC doesn't pay me for this book club, and as of now, they don't even know that I'm doing this. Simply put, I am self-compelled to reread Jack Stack's books and spell out the facts as publicly as possible. Because from where I'm sitting, it looks like a very, very good idea for business, and The Great Game also looks like a very, very necessary idea for social stability, especially now as humanity leaps forward with technological advancements in the labor market. Economies today are feeling the effects of transitioning into the fourth industrial revolution. For many people, the effects are painful. If you're not familiar with the term Fourth Industrial Revolution, I am sure you're already familiar with the drivers within it. I'm referring to robots, quantum computing, 5G wireless, big data, machine learning, artificial intelligence, fully autonomous vehicles, and the Internet of Things like Alexa on Amazon and Siri on Apple. All of these technological advancements have made work and life overall more efficient, and that's great in many ways, no doubt about it. But in doing so, many people have been displaced at work and are left wondering, how in the world will they replace the lost income, health insurance, sense of identity, self-worth, social group, and anchor in a daily routine? Automation touches such a wide range of fields, including car assembly, fast food, logistics, farming, shopping, and even white-collar jobs like legal and accounting work. On top of this, not only is the pain of rapid worker displacement felt in the U.S., but the same increased reliance and alliance with automation takes place as well in China, Great Britain, India, and Brazil, just to name a few massive workforces. Technology is agnostic. It can and will be adopted anywhere, by anyone. Around the world, the pain is real. We need ideas and solutions. My intention is not to scare the bejesus out of people, but we need to meet reality head on, right? There's a McKinsey study that shows that by 2030, a full third of American jobs will have been displaced by automation. I'll link to this study in my Twitter and show notes. I'm not an alarmist. Ultimately, this podcast is meant to be uplifting, and I know you'll see a lot of hope in the GGOB company operating methods once we get into the meat of it. All of human history is about triumph over adversity, and I know that we can solve for the solutions that will serve us best as a whole. In my work experience, it seems as though most companies behave as though a binary choice exists between share price and job security. In other words, decreasing headcount through outsourcing or part-time labor makes for a larger retained earnings figure on the company's income statement. The retained earnings figure directly affects the price-to-earnings ratio. Why does the price-to-earnings ratio matter? Well, it's one of the first and only metrics that most investors look at, especially if a company is listed on a stock exchange. But really, for any company, typically the PE ratio is the go-to measure of a company's health and performance. Okay, so investors pay a lot of attention to the price-to-earnings ratio. Do they also look at the metric of number of jobs sustained? Sadly and weirdly, the answer is no. Jobs sustained is not a number that drives investor sentiment, at least not in a positive way. Often we see the opposite. A company's share price will actually increase when they cull their workforce. In those situations, the investors' logic is typically fewer people can do the same amount of work. There will be more money flowing to the bottom line. Not so much. The idealist in me felt betrayed when I realized that this kind of thinking was both acceptable and prevalent. But idealism aside, Esther, with her practical hat on, also thought it was counterintuitive for companies to shed human capital, which is arguably the most powerful asset on Earth. And then worse, seeing investors reward companies for shedding said human capital. It's as if a person decided to sell his internal organs. This genius of a person posts his news online, and his pals all give him a thumbs up. They say things like, "You only need one kidney, right? Hey, why not try to survive on half a liver or a itty-bitty pancreas?" No surprise, this Einstein soon turns into a weak, zombie-like shell of a person with a one-way ticket to pushing up daisies. The moral of my story is, keep your liver, and don't lay off workers just to boost a PE ratio. In my view, the companies that increased in share price when they laid off workers, they made the philosophical mistake of viewing their people as dead weight, non-value adds, and basically expensive line items waiting to be cut. What the Great Game of Business method shows people, even the most cynical among us, is that all employees, all players of the game, not just those highly educated and not just those with big titles, all can rise to the occasion and slay their business goals over and over again. No exaggeration and no need for routine mass layoffs. So, Is the SRC way of doing business a prayer answered? I think it's an important part of the solution. Of course, no silver bullets exist for anything. Nothing is really ever one size fits all, a blanket solution. Heck, even blankets need to come in different sizes. But if we look at what's unique about this wildly successful company, SRC, it's their approach to business. It's their operating system. Their product lines are not unique. There are plenty of other remanufacturers out there for engine blocks and turbochargers. I see them all over the world, and certainly throughout the US. I see remanufacturers with more advanced technology than they have, and remanufacturers with lower input costs. SRC has competitors up the wazoo. They are just not the only ones making the stuff. Instead, it is SRC's business approach that is their unique selling point, their differentiator, and their secret sauce. And here's where it gets even more intriguing. Sit down and prepare to say, wow. Even though the SRC system and methods are their secret sauce, the last thing they want to do is keep it all a secret. In fact, SRC has been teaching their methodology to anyone who wants to learn it, even competitors. I myself attended my first session with them in November of 2018. I had been wanting to go much earlier, but with how busy life was, that was the earliest I could swing it. And it did not disappoint. The 3-day seminar that I attended was for advanced practitioners of the Great Game of Business system. There, I was astonished to meet 30-ish companies already successfully implementing the Great Game while making buku bucks for their ESOP programs. ESOP is Employee Stock Ownership Program. These other companies were sustaining jobs. They were innovating new products. There was a range of industries there, from animal vet clinic to baby food manufacturer to plant nursery, a large oil company, real estate investors. I remember also a chiropractor clinic and office furnishing manufacturers. The Great Game of Business methods are not just for people making widgets. They're not just for manufacturers like myself. Even the local county in which SRC is located adopted the Great Game of Business system, and subsequently, they increased their bond rating. This means they were then able to go and sell bonds for cheaper. They could raise money from investors who thought, if I give this county money, they are even lower risk of default because look at their good bond rating. I walked away from that seminar thinking that the Great Game of Business isn't just an excellent way to manage an organization, but its principles and techniques are also a good way to manage one's private life. So this brings me to why I'm rereading Jack's books. I'm using this podcast as an accountability tool for myself to be sure that I glean as much as possible from the texts, while also, hopefully, sparking interest in others who believe that the Great Game of Business system can reshape the overall culture of business in the US, China, the Emirates, wherever you are. And that's it for my first episode. Remember to check your view of people on the payroll. Do you view them as liabilities or assets? And would you say the same about your kidneys? Also, remember that you can serve both the PE ratio and job sustainability. It isn't a trick question. Let me know how things go. My email is et55@cornell.edu. Or you can tweet me at Tangy Turbo. That's TANGY_Turbo. Thank you for taking the time to listen. I'm truly honored. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, rate and review, and tell a friend. Thank you to Jack Stack, creator of the Great Game of Business system. Thank you to the many good people at SRC and other ESOP companies who already practice GGOB. And finally, thank you to my family for encouraging me to connect with others on the pressing issues of our time. Signing off for now, I'm Esther Tang. Remember that you count and you matter to me.